This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SAVE Act looks like it's dead. We'll talk about that. We had a Muslim terror attack in New York City. Gas prices. What's the future of all this with this Iran stuff? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right. So the SAVE Act. I know you want the SAVE Act, and I want the SAVE Act. It's honestly a little bit ridiculous we didn't already have it in place. Has that ever happened to you in politics where you find out they're proposing something and you look around and say, we don't already have that? That's not a thing? So in the United States of America, we don't already have something that says, got to show ID, prove you're an American citizen to vote. Now, let's stop right there. Why don't we have that already? What the founding fathers, when they created this wonderful country and they wrote the Constitution and they were coming up with laws, and so many generations after them, why didn't anyone write that down? Well, they didn't think they had to. It was just kind of one of those things that were a given. You look back 250 years ago and the generations who came after them, They would never have imagined that you would have something equivalent to the modern-day Democrat Party, where they're massively importing as many foreigners as they possibly can, disloyal foreigners, to vote in our elections to ensure Democrats stay in power. The founding fathers, and there were two different parties back then as well, they never imagined that one of the two political parties would be that sick and evil. So it's just not one of those things that they ever thought to write down. Fast forward to today. We want the SAVE Act. Donald Trump wants the SAVE Act. But just like we just said, the Democrat Party is a tiny minority party in this country, and people don't realize it. Most people don't know it. They are a tiny minority party. I would guess, and all I can do is guess, I would guess it's 20%, maybe 25% of the population. And I say that, it's not like I pull that number out of thin air. If you look at Democrat positions on the issues, it doesn't matter what it is, the border, trannies and women's sports, issue after issue after issue after issue, Democrats take the side of the 20%. 80% of the country is against them. So how are they half of Congress? Half of the Senate? I mean, truth, they're probably going to take Congress in the midterms. How's that humanly possible? Well, fraud. They steal taxpayer money and they spread it around for political activism. Foreigners and cheating. And let's focus on those last two. Foreigners and cheating, they go hand in hand. Really, all three go hand in hand. Democrats, everyone knows the jokes about dead people voting Democrat, but it's more than just that. Why would you massively import Somalis into the state of Minnesota? Well, Tim Walz won his last governor's election by about 138,000 votes, give or take. I think I'm pretty close on that. You know, there are 100,000 Somalis in Minnesota. Did you know they'll all vote by block for Democrats? You show up at the Somali apartment complex as a Democrat activist. They understand where their bread is buttered, who keeps them on welfare. You collect all the ballots, check the box for Democrats, and voila! Minnesota becomes one of the bluest states in the United States of America. Fraud, foreigners, and cheating. Without those things, the Democrat Party pretty much ceases to exist. When you become a 20% party, they would probably have to close the DNC and remake the whole thing, rename it. The Democrat Party would probably disappear without it. They must have those things. So I'm going to play something for you right now. And I just want to set this up because I want you to wrap your mind around how insane this is. The SAVE Act, showing ID to vote. This is another one of those 80-20 issues. The American people love it. And by the way, it's not just Republicans who love it. Independents love it. It's an 80-20 issue. The American people want the SAVE Act, overwhelmingly. Now, Democrats want to win elections, right? They have a big midterm election coming up. They certainly want to take back the House. They have a very outside chance of taking back the Senate. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, they want to win elections. So surely they're going to take the 80% side of the issue, right? Yeah, here's the most powerful Democrat in Washington, D.C., Chuck Schumer.
Their bill isn't voter ID, number one. It is about voter registration. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls, and they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore. You're not registered here. You're not on the rolls.
Little too on the nose, isn't it? Kind of gives the game away. I mean, he just came right out and said it. You're going to kick our voters off the voter rolls if you have to show ID. Our people can't show ID. They just got here from the freaking Congo. They don't have any ID. So, obviously the SAVE Act is going to pass, right? Well, no. John Thune, Senate Majority Leader, came out yesterday and he said as much.
And so that debate will happen. Like I said, I can guarantee the debate, I can guarantee a vote, I just can't guarantee an outcome. We don't have the votes either to proceed, get on a talking filibuster, nor to sustain one if we got on it. But that is just a function of math. And there isn't anything I can do about that. I mean, I understand the president's got a passion to see this issue addressed, as we all do.
Does he understand that, though?
Well, we've conveyed that to him, but we will continue to make that argument because I think it's important that everybody understand that this really is about, it's about the votes, it's about the math. And I'm for better or worse, I'm the one who has to be the clear-eyed realist about what we can achieve here. And so we'll continue to convey that. And I think that we're going to have the fight on the floor. We're going to vote on this. We're going to put it up, and we'll give the Democrats the opportunity to cast their vote on whether or not they think non-citizens ought to vote in American elections.
Okay. About 24 hours ago, John Thune said that, maybe a little more. About 24 hours, John Thune has been slaughtered by everybody on the right. Everybody for that. Everybody. Trump himself is out there blasting Thune publicly. You've probably been crucifying him. Maybe you've been on Facebook. What's up with Thune? And I don't like John Thune. I wish John Thune would be primaried out of office. I loudly warned before John Thune was ever made Senate Majority Leader that the GOP and Trump should get involved and try to stop it. To say I'm not a Thune fan would be the understatement of the year. I don't like John Thune. But let's talk about reality. Here's the truth. If you weigh 350 pounds and you want to lose weight, the truth is today you got pharmaceutical options. Go see your doctor, jam a needle in your arm. Those LBs will drop off faster than you can possibly imagine. They will. You can do that, or you can change your eating habits, your exercise habits. Not that I'm judging anyone for their bad eating. I eat terribly. Or laziness. I'm lazy all the time. It's not that, but you can eat less, work out more. Now, which one of those do you think is the better option? John Thune, you can scream at him all day long. Why isn't he doing it? He should do it. Okay. That's the needle in your arm. I'm going to read you a statistic. I'm going to read it so I make sure I get it correctly. You know Mitch McConnell? You hate him, right? One of the main reasons the SAVE Act is not passing is Mitch McConnell. Did you know that? He hates Donald Trump. Hates him. They hate each other. Mitch McConnell is also retiring. He's in failing health. He's retiring. So Mitch McConnell has nothing to lose. Mitch McConnell can screw Trump and he can't be bribed. He can't be blackmailed. He's retiring. He's leaving office. Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, we can get to her in a moment, but she owes her entire career to Mitch McConnell. He stepped in a primary and bailed her out. She would have lost if he hadn't shoveled a bunch of money to her. But we'll focus on Mitch McConnell for a moment. Are you mad about Mitch McConnell? I just told you Mitch McConnell was largely responsible for stopping the SAVE Act. You're mad, right? I'm mad. It sucks. Let's check in with the people of Kentucky and see how mad they are. Mitch McConnell had a... Oh, look at that. He had a primary in 2020. And the people of Kentucky, the Republicans in Kentucky, were so mad about Mitch McConnell that, wait a minute, Mr. Producer, it's got to be a typo. My paper says that 82% of Republican primary voters went out on primary day and voted to send Mitch McConnell back to the Senate? Huh. I wonder what the problem is. You see, it's easy. It's very easy. Right now, for you and me, you can blame John Thune all day. I hate John Thune. It would be fun. I'd love it. And I'm sure it's what you want to hear. Thune. It's all Thune's fault. Stupid Thune. Thune sucks. You want me to keep going down the list? All these loser GOP senators? You know, we have, I think there's something in the neighborhood of 29 of them that were really holding this thing up. Did you know, and I'm ballparking this here, about 22 of those 29 are from red states. The GOP primary voter in those red states, they could send anybody they wanted to the Senate. We're not even talking about Susan Collins of Maine. I understand she has a tightrope she has to walk in a state like Maine. I get that. We're talking about states like Oklahoma, Utah, South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana, the Dakotas, down and down and down the list we go. Red state after red state after red state on primary day. The GOP voter, you know what he does? Hey, man, hold on. Baseball game's on. Gotta watch a game. Election? It's what's going on? Is Trump running? Nah? Anyway, let's watch the game. Someone get me a beer on primary day. Republican voter can't be bothered to saunter down to the polls. And if he does, here's what he does. He watches Fox News at night, and he sees some senator on Fox News. All the senators love to go on Fox News. And you know what? He thinks to himself, oh, that's Lindsey Graham. You know, I met him once. I saw him on one of those Fox News shows. He sounded so good. I'm going to go vote for Lindsey Graham again. He's my senator. And then 15 minutes later, when Lindsey Graham is screwing you over, it's all John Thune's fault. That stupid Thune. I'm not going to give you a needle in your arm. I'm sorry, I'm not. It's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. The GOP primary voter has to get off his lazy, stupid butt and start voting against Republicans. Voting out the Republicans who are in office and vote in an entirely new batch of Republicans. If you're angry with the United States Senate, you have every right to be. I am angry as well. That anger must be shown on primary day. You cannot spend 24 hours on Facebook raging against John Thune and then sit on your fat butt on primary day and do nothing whatsoever. Or even worse, show up and vote for the dork you currently have. Go look at the states where these people come from. In fact, you know what? I think I have this on my phone. Totally unprofessional. Let me go down the list as long as I'm ranting here. Here's just a couple of the states. I'm not even going to read you the name. The states. You want to know the states? Wyoming, Arkansas, West Virginia, Maine. I already said that one. Both from Arkansas. How about that? North Dakota, Idaho, blood red Idaho. Utah, Montana, blood red. Nebraska, red. South Carolina, red. Iowa, red. North Dakota, red. West Virginia, red. Louisiana, red. Oklahoma, red. Kentucky. You know what? I'll stop. Hardest thing to do in life when you are faced with some sort of a disappointment. Personal disappointment. You just got back to the doctor's office. He told you you're 20 pounds overweight. Professional disappointment. Someone else got the promotion you thought you were owed. The hardest thing to do in life is to walk down to your bathroom and look in the mirror and say, ooh, look at that. I found the problem. We are the problem. Now, if I have to put a little disclaimer on the end of this, if you look at the Texas primary results of John Cornyn versus Ken Paxton, we are already getting better. We are already starting to show up more and vote more against the establishment swamp rat losers. That's already happening. We're getting better. We are improving. We're working out more. We're eating less. We're getting better. But this is going to take time. We are 350 pounds. That's going to take a lot of walks and putting down a lot of slices of pizza. It's up to us now, not John Thune. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an incredible show. We're going to talk for a moment about the Democrat Texas candidate. Oh, man, is he a doozy. Before we get to that, let's get to your stomach. Speaking of your stomach, maybe you said to yourself, well, I can't even eat pizza. I get this heartburn all the time. That was a thing for me. You know what's wild? Hot things like jalapenos and hot sauces and things like that, they never gave me heartburn. Pizza did. Isn't that heartbreaking? Pizza. Especially if I ate it anywhere close to bed, wake up and oh my gosh, it's burning. And then my sister told me about cowboy colostrum. Gosh, is it life-changing. You see, I put mine in my coffee in the morning. Just a couple scoops. It's delicious. Mine's chocolate-flavored. And she told me, it's good for your gut. It's good for your gut. It's good for your gut. I've not had heartburn one time, not one time, since I started taking cowboy colostrum. Try it. cowboycolostrum.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
And we want everyone here to stay in New York. You don't get to come from outside and then tell everyone else.
On Saturday, a protest was held outside Gracie Mansion, where I live with my wife, Rama. Neither of us were home at the time. This was a vile protest rooted in white supremacy entitled Stop the Islamic Takeover of New York City. I'm the first Muslim mayor of our city. Anti-Muslim bigotry is nothing new to me, nor is it anything new for the 1 million or so Muslim New Yorkers who know this city as our home.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing about the dirty commie reporter yelling at all the protesters, only to have some Muslim radical jihadi piece of crap jump up behind him and try to bomb him to smithereens. It was great. Joining me now, Steve Dace, host of the Steve Dace Show. Steve, I just can't stop laughing. I know I'm a terrible person, but I'm sorry. It's hilarious.
That's kind of an E.T. phone home moment, isn't it? I mean, real, recognize real, game, recognize game. Those terrorists were only responding to the dog whistle that is already on their frequency. That's birds of a feather flocking together there, brother.
Yeah, it is. And this is the problem when you import en masse mm-hmm. Islam into your country. It's not that you can't ever have one in your country, but when you do what the United States has done, what Europe has done, what so many countries have done, and you just simply throw open your borders and say, come on in, you can get yourself to a point. And I hope we're not at this point, Steve, where all the options suck. Are we at a point where all the options suck?
Yes, we are at the point that all the options suck. And here's why. Since 9/11, we've imported about 4 million people from Islamist-dominated countries since 9/11. That would be roughly the 37th, 38th largest state in the union in terms of just sheer population. That's more people than live in my home state of Iowa, for example, where the presidential process is going to begin here about the first Wednesday in November later this year. So when you import en masse that level of worldview, and understand we did it in response to being attacked by Islam. Previous generations would have gone too far in the other direction, right? Like what we saw with internment camps during World War II. Maybe instinctively you understand what they were concerned about within their homeland, but they took it to a way too oppressive of a level of application. In this case, we didn't even have the right premise. We immediately thought, well, this is exactly why we've got to import more of this worldview into our own country, just to show that we're not bigots and we can win over your humanities professor at your local taxpayer-funded university. And so because of that, and that's what we've done here for the last generation, and now in your home state, you know, you guys just opened your 300th mosque, so tip of the cap for that. So because of that, all right, we're now in a position, yes, brother, all of the options now suck. Yes.
That is fantastic. Speaking of sucky options, here's the Democrat nominee for Senate in the state of Texas.
Did they teach you in Sunday school that Jesus Christ himself was a radical feminist?
The American flag is such a complicated symbol for most of us.
God is non-binary.
You can't call yourself a Christian and reject the stranger seeking asylum at our southern border.
Our trans community needs abortion care too.
Huh? Modern science obviously recognizes that there are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six.
Prophetic voices like Jesus have helped me reckon with my own whiteness.
Our southern border should be like our front porch. There should be a giant welcome mat out.
Steve, Texas isn't going to elect this guy. I'm not stressed about that. I am stressed about a bunch of people cosplaying as pastors who are Satanists. That's a Satanist right there.
100%. I mean, there's at least two, maybe three instances I would make the theological case, Jesse, are what's called blaspheming of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Jesus said it's the only unforgivable sin. In other words, attributing directly to God the works of Satan, or attributing directly to the works of Satan the work of God. And that's, he clearly does that on two, if not maybe three, different instances just in that compilation that you just shared there. Now, listen, he's already raising a ton of money. I think he's going to raise more than the $80 million that Beto raised 6 years ago. Now, the difference is, though, Beto hid who he really was for long periods of time. The oppo on this guy is dropping already, and so I don't think he'll run as strong of a campaign as Beto did in 2018 when I think he lost to Ted Cruz by about three and a half points. But so why is he going to raise so much money? What you saw, and I wrote about this past week for The Blaze, but what you saw Jasmine Crockett trade in her private school tuition and degrees to try to create herself as some kind of ghetto trash drama queen, trash panda, and cherry girled herself with the fake eyelashes, the fake fingernails, and pretending to be something she never was because she wanted to chime in and capitalize on what's been the most successful grift in American politics, which is, in the last era anyway, which is racial pandering. And so what do Democrats care even more about than racial identity? Well, taking down Christianity, redefining Christianity, because it's really the last bulwark, pardon the pun, to them having total cultural hegemony. And so James Tallarico won your primary statewide, really, with just two interviews, Joe Rogan and also Stephen Colbert. That's all he had going for him. He was behind this entire race against a far more well-publicized, well-known congresswoman. Last year at this time, David Hogg was, as vice chair of the DNC, was promoting Jasmine Crockett as their presidential nominee. But he touched on what is their chief shibboleth of the damned, our opportunity to apostatize Christianity. And for that reason, he's going to raise tens of millions, maybe $100 million, much of it money from out of state. But I agree with you, even in this favorable cycle for Democrats, he will still lose.
Well, someone who I think is making this cycle more and more favorable to Democrats is your and my personal favorite, Lindsey Graham. You see, Donald Trump, however people feel about Iran, Donald Trump is doing the best he can to message this thing as limited, short, we're ahead of schedule, we're wrapping these things up, because he understands that time is not his friend. We need to get back home or the poll numbers are going to begin to crater. That's what Trump says. And then Lindsey Graham gets done gardening and goes on the news and says stuff like this every night.
I can't go to South Carolina and say we're fighting and you won't publicly fight. What you're doing behind the scenes, that has to stop. The double dealing of the Arab world when it comes to this stuff needs to end. I go back to South Carolina. I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast. What I want you to do in the Mideast to our friends in Saudi Arabia and other places, step forward and say, this is my fight too. All the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
Steve, that's landing like a lead balloon with normal people who voted on inflation and immigration, and yet Lindsey Graham doesn't get a phone call from Donald Trump saying, shut up and stop going on the news.
I you know, to me, having a guy that mysteriously never married or have any kids,
yeah,
stand up there and say, your kids should be willing to die for Saudi Arabia. Listen, man, I am pro-Israel. There are days I feel like Jon Snow against the Groypers online, okay? The army of the night, all right? And I'm going down to the last anonymous screen name, okay? That is some of the worst possible messaging for this you could have imagined. It's absolutely the worst messenger for all of this you could have possibly imagined. And that, I mean, all that guy is doing there, frankly, is Groyper recruitment, if we're just being honest. Okay, I mean, the amount of activity in Nick Fuentes engagement he could draw just by counter signaling Lindsey Graham is incalculable. It is amazing that when you look at Fox News, I mean, one of their big things is, you know, electoral success and holding back certain elements of the party from getting mainstream that might cost electoral success. To be platforming this guy night by night by night to drive just huge wedges within our base, and that no one at the White House is called. But let's put the blame where this really goes. The South Carolina state primary voter, decade after decade after decade, sending this clown to the United States Senate. That's where the blame ultimately goes here.
You are not wrong, my friend. I went off on that in the beginning. Steve, before I let you go, how's this Iran thing end? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting a solid answer because no one knows. The people who hate it and they're against it, they have no idea. The people who are all for it, bomb them into smithereens, they don't know either. But it does have to end quickly or we're going to get slaughtered in the midterms. How does it end?
Well, all the reservations I had about it going in, I still have, but I'm Team America. So when we're engaged, not to mention, you know, every time another member of the Iranian high command assumes room temperature, the world's a little bit better place. Now, we can't just sustain this indefinitely where we're just trying to spot them and bomb them into smithereens every time somebody else emerges. We've articulated this you know, goal of diminishing their capability and capacity to hurt Americans and American interests globally. But what does that look like? We don't really know. Are we worse off if we leave before there's a regime change? We don't want to do that. We want the people to do it. But we told them to shelter in place until we tell them to come out. Are we going to tell them to come out and try to topple their government? These are all questions, frankly, we don't know the answer to. I don't blame anybody at all for asking them. We don't really have a proof of concept that we can do this kind of prolonged engagement, going back to Beirut 83, any kind of prolonged engagement in the Middle East and not come out the worse for wear for it. Now, the president has been enormously successful as a foreign policy president. And so I'm willing to give him a lot of rope where this is concerned, because it's also against one of the worst regimes of my lifetime. But there needs to be a very clear exit strategy, and they need to be able to clearly execute that. We have not seen that yet, and I'm going to trust that they're able to, because if they're not, I don't even want to contemplate the alternative to that.
Steve, my man, as always, I appreciate you. All right. Speaking of Iran, that whole Strait of Hormuz, what's going on with that? We got rid of their navy, but we got oil tankers on fire? What's happening? Well, John Conrad, someone who knows about shipping, he's going to discuss that with us. Before we get to John Conrad, let me discuss your cell phone. Do you have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? You know those companies have chosen a side in the culture wars of this country, and it's not your side. Those companies hate you. And what's more, when you have to get a hold of someone at Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, that sound like an American on the phone? Of course it's not. You know it's not. I'm tired of that. I want companies that hire Americans, companies that are pro-American. Pure Talk is led by a Vietnam veteran, two tours, and when you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, you'll speak to an American who speaks English. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and make the switch today. We'll be back. Shipping. I am a gigantic nerd, and I find it to be unbelievably fascinating. I just always have. Logistics in general, military logistics, shipping, just the fact that there is global shipping. We have ships all over the ocean, around the world. It's amazing to me. And look, before I get to John, I'll tell you, I know this is hugely nerdy. Whenever I am at a big shipyard, anywhere, any big port city, I can't stop looking at it. All the ships coming in and going out and loaded and unloaded, the whole thing fascinates me. So that, of course, begs the question. We have a war with Iran right now. This whole Strait of Hormuz thing sure sounds important. Should I care about any of this? Am I going to pay more at the pump? Joining me now, John Conrad, CEO of GCaptain. Okay, John, the Strait of Hormuz, let's begin there. I've never been there. I've certainly never caught any walleye in it. Where is it? Why does it matter to me?
Well, you got the Persian Gulf, where 20% of all the world's oil and natural gas is, and it's a big bathtub. And to get out of the bathtub, you have to do a giant U-turn right around Iran. That strait is 20 miles wide, and that is why it is important, people. When you're that close to land, you not only have to worry about warships. Trump has said we have sunk all those warships, but you can hit ships with other things like artillery or rockets or drones, or send little fishing boats out with mines to drop over the side. So it's challenging. And if you go back and look at the British Empire, that's what they really controlled, whether it's Singapore or near Hong Kong, Strait of Gibraltar, Suez. They knew that whoever controls those checkpoints controls world trade.
Okay, so explain this to me then, John. We have the biggest, most powerful navy in the world by a mile. It was so powerful, we already swept the Iranian Navy off the seas. You say they have fishing boats and mines and things like that. Why can't the U.S. Navy just cruise through that little strait and just clear all that stuff out?
Well, there's Curtis LeMay would have one answer. I see two answers to this, because these mines can be stored in basements. And we know the Iranians, and they like storing weapons in the basement of schools and hospitals and under civilians. So there are two ways to do it. Curtis LeMay would have suggested a massive carpet bombing campaign to wipe everything out along that stretch or Hormuz. The other option that I see is one dear to your heart, old-time expeditionary campaign. Send a Marine unit in there, not boots on the ground for 20 years like we've seen in other wars, but someone's going to have to search these basements and hideouts and all of these fishing boats, because you don't need mine layers to put mines in the strait. You just need to tell a fisherman to dump it over the side. And there are a lot of small boats, a lot of fishing boats in that region.
Okay, John, so are ships currently going through it? I'm talking about oil ships. Are they going through it? Are they not? Is that why we saw a brief spike in gas prices? Explain to me what's happening now.
Well, we saw a massive spike in oil prices as this constrained happened. And then the market sold gas, so gas fell off a cliff. Now it's rising again. You know, these are like Wall Street. It's like a stock traders. Everyone's talking about the price of oil. It doesn't matter. It's being controlled by these Wall Street and the elites who are placing bet with futures and everything else. I'm not concerned as long as there is one world oil price, whether it's $100, $200, $400, we will see that come back down. Where it really gets nasty is where we saw it during COVID, where you have a split in oil prices. Oil producing countries could see negative oil prices. During COVID, some of these places were paying you $50 a barrel to get the oil out off their hands so they don't have to shut down oil wells. And other places were seeing $1,000 a barrel oil. So if we see a fractionalization of the market, that's what's dangerous. Some ships are going through. China is the biggest buyer of oil from Iran. They don't care about seafarer life as much as some other nations do. So they're pushing it through. There are some Greek tankers that are going through at night with their electronics and lights off. But we saw yesterday three ships trying to get through. We don't know if they hit the mines or if there was a surface drone, but they blew up in smoke yesterday. So that's going to give caution to the few ships that were thinking about getting through that strait.
Okay, and so to be clear, I want to circle back to the military portion of this. The only way to stop this is carpet bombing school children or boots in the ground or in Iran. We don't have a third way.
I am not a military expert. You've been in the Marine Corps. You know this more than I, but it doesn't have to be carpet bombing children. I don't think that's the solution. But, you know, and telling them to clear out the area, it could just be bombs or napalm along the ports to get rid of all the boats. We saw some of that yesterday. We bombed a harbor of these fishing boats. It could be bombing these fishing boats. I don't know. These are the best options that I've seen talking to people inside and outside of the Pentagon. The real answer here, Jesse, is there are no great options. Mines are ugly. They're very hard to clear. In their infinite wisdom, the U.S. Navy took out all the mine sweepers from the Persian Gulf, and they're replacing it with LCS ships, which have been nicknamed the little crappy ships. And these mine sweepers, all our mine sweepers in the Persian Gulf, arrived in Philadelphia 2 days ago after being removed. So you can literally drive to Philadelphia and wave at our Persian Gulf mine sweepers. There's just been some bad decisions by the Navy and others. That being said, there's a lot that's going well here. I mean, destroying the Iranian Navy, getting, you know, hitting back on these drone strikes, the amount of missiles going down is impressive. A lot of the military operation has been going better than everyone that I've talked to in the Pentagon's expectations. So I don't want to trash the military, but we're at this point here where it's not really even the military's fault. Everyone's blaming Trump and Hegseth. I know these admirals said that they could control these mines and they had a plan, especially getting rid of our minesweepers. But you know, these mines are just—I mean, they're nasty, nasty things.
Okay, so let's come back at home then here. We just took out the leader of Venezuela and installed somebody friendly to us. I know our own domestic energy production is through the roof in virtually every way. Why do the Americans have to stress about the Strait of Hormuz maybe getting shut down for a time until we can minesweep the place? Why do I have to worry about it? It's so far away.
Well, that's an excellent question. And as I said, with this fractionalization of oil prices, there's a potential because of this that our prices crash. But to get the Venezuela oil in and to get some of these other nearby oil in, we have to reconfigure some refineries and we have to build more. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom is shutting down refineries in California. So that's the problem. If we could just build refineries, you know, we could really have an advantage. The bigger problem, though, and the biggest problem is it's 20% of fuel, but that fuel goes into fertilizer and there's some fertilizer in the Gulf. And we've already seen fertilizer shipments drop from Russia and Ukraine war. So 40% of all energy for fertilizer comes from the Persian Gulf. That doesn't matter to the Americans. We can make our own fertilizer. We have the most productive agriculture farmlands in the world, in the Middle East. Where it becomes a problem is when people starve around the world, they go to war. Governments topple. And then you have a security concern. And we know the European militaries, NATO militaries are weak. You know, Britain couldn't even get one warship underway until yesterday to protect its citizens in Cyprus. And there's going to be this international pressure as the world kind of collapses around us. All this, if you think the migrant crisis because of ISIS in Europe is bad, it could potentially be a lot worse if hundreds of thousands or millions of people in Africa, the Middle East, start starving. So, I agree with you. We have to look at our backyard, and I think that's what we were doing with Venezuela and such. But there's huge amounts of pressure from these. And I'm at the biggest shipping conference in the world right now. That's why I'm in the hotel room. The Europeans are mad at us. They have boycotted this conference, the London shipping cabal. I live in a very liberal section of Massachusetts. I have not seen TDS to the level I have seen it today. And I think that could be leveraged as good, telling these guys, you know, the U.S. Navy, the Marine Corps has secured shipping for decades, this could be the inflection point where we say, you guys can't just ignore us anymore. We have to come up with some new plan that the world takes care of shipping so that we can focus on home. I don't really have a lot of answers for you, Jerry. I usually, Jesse, come up and a strong thing here. But there's a lot. There's so many moving balls here. With so many the Persian Gulf states, the Abraham Accords, the European shipping interests just being absolutely TDS filled. You know, increased production in the Gulf of Mexico to take care of ourselves. There's just a lot of balls in the air, and it's hard to make predictions.
No, I'd rather you give it to us straight than make a prediction that isn't right. I don't think anybody knows right now, Jonks. You're asking people to predict the future with this many moving pieces. I appreciate you, my man. Enjoy that shipping conference. I'm so jealous. I want to go to a shipping conference. Be good. All right. Tough to get same-day financing when you're a small business, isn't it? These big banks, they work with big corporations. And they've decided, speaking of cabals, that they're just going to be one team, and you're a small business. Well, if they get to you at all, we'll call you back next week. That's why Cardiff exists. Cardiff exists for the small business. Businesses need capital. Large and small businesses need capital. And Cardiff was tired of watching big banks collaborate with big businesses and just ignore small businesses. We're talking up to $500,000 same-day financing. You don't have to sit and stress and wait on hold again with the big bank for 25 minutes. Please help, I need... Get a hold of Cardiff. Cardiff.co/Jesse is where you go. Cardiff.co/Jesse. We'll be back. I did the Adam Carolla show. That's why I wasn't here on Monday. Here's a little snippet of how that went. The things people get away with saying now that don't end their political career is staggering. I mean, it's staggering. If you had stood up in 1990, we don't even have to go back to ancient history, 1980, 1990, as a Democrat running for office and announced that you intended to fundamentally change the United States of America, Democrats across the country would not have voted for you. A Republican would have won that election in a landslide because they would have thought, that's a turnoff, I can't get that. But the ugly truth is that no one wants to admit, and it sucks, I don't like saying it, but it's true, is we do have a representative government, and in this country, they represent us quite well. You point to Ilhan Omar. Well, she's an idiot. She hates America. She's a scumbag. Yeah, that's her district. That's the people in her district, her vote. AOC is stupid. She hates the country. She's a socialist. Yes, the morons in the Bronx in her district, that's who they are. They're morons. They hate the country. They're socialists. That's what they vote for. We have Democrats today, repeatedly, this is a Democrat talking point across the United States of America, speaking of immigration, who will get up on national television and say, immigrants build America. Immigrants build America. Yeah. At any other point in human history, Republican or Democrat, if an American politician said that to his American constituents, he would not win the next election. I don't care if it was dog catcher or president of the United States of America. Democrats are so comfortable they fill the country up with scumbags that they feel totally comfortable saying that and they never lose an election. The problem is the people, and that's what we have to work on. That was brilliant. But my point in playing that wasn't actually that. My point in playing that was this. The reason I was gone Monday is I had to fly out to Los Angeles. That's where Adam does his show, in the LA area. And it was so disgusting. And it saddens me because Southern California is such a paradise. Just flying into Los Angeles, the mountains, the sun, it was 78 degrees. Paradise. And then you land and you start taking your cab to your hotel, and there's just homeless people and tents and drugs and pee, and the ATMs are locked up behind cinder blocks, and it was sad. Democrats, communists, destroy everything. Do you know how hard you have to work to destroy Southern California, where it's sunny and 78 degrees year-round? I walk everywhere I go, nature, small towns, big cities. I love to walk it just for exercise, to get a feel of the place. I walked all over. It was gross, unsafe, horrible. I could not believe what I saw. Democrats truly do suck. They wreck everything they touch, and it saddened me. Anyway, it bothered me. All right. We'll do Light the Mood next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I'll just keep repeating myself. There's nothing better in politics than Democrats trying to pander to black people. It is shameless, and it is racist, and it is so endlessly hilarious. And of course, they get away with it. They've always gotten away with it, but they just keep doing it. And maybe the best of this is Joe Biden. Joe Biden rarely had control of his mouth back when he had a functioning brain, but now that his brain is just melting into a puddle, now it's really, really bad. And so he got up to speak at Jesse Jackson's funeral, and here's how that went.
By the way, you know, the continent of Africa is going to be the largest continent in the world in terms of population by the year 2050, the largest in the entire world. Watch, man. Watch.
Do you think Joe knows that the black people there, that they're not from Africa? Do you think he understands that those are all Americans? Do you think he gets that? It was that. But look, he probably doesn't think they're going to be insulted anyway. After all, he's smarter than all of them.
If I told you all earlier, when I was a kid, I had a cleft palate or club foot, none of you would have laughed. But it's okay to laugh at stuttering. I'm not being critical of you, but think about it. It's the one place where people think you're stupid. Oh, really? I'm a hell of a lot smarter than most of you.
Take that back to Africa. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.